Truly thou art a hidden God, the God of Israel, the Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Basilica of St. Peter in Rome is the pride of the Catholic Church and one of the most magnificent churches in the world. It is indeed the largest. And yet, our fathers in the faith tell us that the original Constantinian Basilica, destroyed in the Renaissance, exceeded it far in great splendor, being entirely gilded. If you have had the great honor to go to St. Peter's and to venerate the relics of the Prince of the Apostles, if you descend into the confession where his holy remains are venerated, you can see a glimpse of those beautiful mosaics that once lined the ancient basilica. And yet that first temple given by Constantine the Emperor, who gave to the church her civic peace, never saw the great definitions by the Holy Father of the Immaculate Conception, of the Assumption, which we would know in our own 19th and 20th centuries. And so it is often in salvation history, as indeed in our own lives, that the appearance of the great splendor of our own works is not where the presence of our Lord is truly to be found. It was so for the people of Israel. The first temple that had been desired to be built by David was destroyed when the chosen people, the remaining chosen people of the kingdom of Judah, were carried into captivity in Babylon. After 70 years, the reign of Darius, when the chosen people were permitted to return and to build the temple once again, the prophet Ezra tells us that there was great weeping, a very diverse weeping, at the consecration of the second temple. The younger generations, having never known the worship of the one true God in the temple, with its many sacrifices of animals, of bread, of incense, wept tears of joy. But the older generations who had known that first temple, the great splendor given to it by King Solomon, where he had brought artisans from all over the known world, from Egypt, from Ethiopia, precious metals and wood from throughout Mesopotamia, those who had known that first temple wept as well, but they wept because the second temple was vastly inferior to the first. And yet it is the prophet Haggai, Holy Mother Church, reminding us on this great feast day of the purification of our Most Blessed Mother and the presentation of our Savior, his first entrance into this temple, that this second temple, built after the exile, will be greater than the first. The prophet Haggai says, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." Finally, that day has come. And as St. Augustine says in the commentary on today's Holy Gospel on this great feast day, that Simeon represents a world that has aged through sin. Indeed, as we all have, when we have the misfortune to break the friendship of God, we have lost that first youth, won for us so dearly by our Lord, given to us in baptism, restored to us in confession. Like Simeon, we approach our blessed Savior, hopeful to be restored to that great youth. And so the God-child, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is held by Simeon, but it is really he who holds him, as St. Augustine beautifully says, that even as the heavens could not contain our Lord, but our Blessed Mother's womb contained the Creator of the universe, even so held in the arms of this venerable old man, it is our Blessed Savior who holds him, who restores him to life, so that he may prepare at last, as we heard so beautifully chanted by our Schola this evening, to go and be with our Lord forever, finally be in the embrace of the God he had always endured. And so it is that great lesson for our own spiritual lives, that indeed our Lord does not often bless the works that we believe to be most beautiful, the works that we believe to be most great in the eyes of men. Very often he throws such works in the burning furnace, as he did the three young men in the book of Daniel. that furnace representing those trials that our Blessed Savior sends us, that are so excruciating for us, but so superior to our devotions in the midst of consolations. He throws us into the furnace of trial precisely to burn away all self-will, all complacency. And it is in those seemingly wretched moments that our Lord is most present, just as he is most present in this seemingly exteriorly inferior temple, namely the second temple, built after the exile, rather than the great exterior splendor of the first. Certainly, it does not mean that we should dispense ourselves from giving our God our best and our highest, but as our Blessed Mother, she, the greatest example of this great spiritual lesson, reminds us, that it is upon her humility that the Almighty has looked. He has scattered the proud in their conceits. He has lifted up the lowly. And so if we wish to welcome our Blessed Savior, to be able to see him as Simeon did, for so many countless worshipers passed through the temple on that same day, but it was only Simeon, by a long life of preparation, visited by that great grace of the Holy Ghost, to be told that he would see the Christ child before he would leave this earthly life. If we wish to be like Simeon, to welcome our Lord into our works, we need to begin them in him, detached from our own self-will, with a pure intention burned in the furnace, as we pray in the Litany of the Sacred Heart in that furnace of divine charity. So let us ask our Blessed Mother this evening, Holy Mother Church, through all the texts of this Mass and office for today, has us see this feast through her eyes, that she who had no need of purification, she, the Queen of the Universe, the Mother of our God, undergoes this purification in a spirit of humility, not for herself, but for us. And so may our intention likewise leave this holy temple pure, invoking that same sweet Virgin Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.